Connecting. It's playing. Oh man, have we got lots of tyranny today? And we've been doing all kinds of shows exposing the tyrannical ones, Tyrannosaurus Rex. We need to come up with more names for Jew, Pastor Steve. Right? Yeah, right. Tyrannosaurus Jew. Tyrannosaurus Jewry. Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're back live on Bloodlines. We had some major technical difficulties last Sunday, which turned out to be my modem was going bad, and we had to do a factory reset on my modem, and that explains a lot of our problems we had getting on the air last week. We didn't do a Voce either because I totally lost internet connection. So anyway, we're back live again, and today we're going to pick up on our series on the 95 Theses. Okay, what's so? Yeah, there you go. You see. Usurious Rex. Usurious Rex. There we go. Yeah. And that's the big monster in the middle of the room that has. All right. Yeah, we're going to get in trouble, Pastor Steve. Yeah, right. Shills aplenty. Shills aplenty. Yeah, right. Yeah, we get. Yeah, next time you go to the movies, you get a box of shills aplenty. Right. Oh, come on. That's bad. Yes, let's see what we can do about that. Okay. No, I'm hearing you on Skype. Well, I'm still not picking you up on my voice meter, though. So let me restart the audio. Don't know why. Okay. Oh, that's bad. We're not picking up Pastor Steve. Yeah, we did a pre-show test, and it was working then. Don't know what the problem is now. Sorry, folks. Okay, all right. So since nobody's hearing Pastor Steve, we're going to have to log off and restart all of this, and so we can get Pastor Steve. And it could be a Skype setting that. But let me, before I log off, let me try the Skype setting. Maybe that's what the problem is. All right, so I'm hearing you, but the audience isn't. Okay. So let me go to audio settings. Okay, how are we doing now? Let me go to, okay, talk. Talk, man. Talk, man. All right. We should be hearing you now. I had to reset everything. And
set Steve's channel in on banana.
Okay. It should be good to go now.
There he is. Okay.
Yes.
There
we- All right. Sorry about that, folks. I've had to make so many adjustments.
You had me concerned that I had my settings wrong.
I was hoping. Yeah, I'll always assume that it's your fault, Pastor Steve.
Mea culpa.
Let me click save. All right. Very good. All right. All people missed was a little bit of banter, so no problem.
Okay. I was singing BLM and BET.
We're good to go now. We're good to go. David James says the Jews
you believe trade that.
always accept the blame. The Jew is guilty, we accept the blame. Thank you, David. So here we are, and we're going to do the 95 Theses. I think it's part 5, if I'm not mistaken. We left off on thesis number 39. And if you would post the link to the article in the chat room, I haven't opened that up yet.
Oh,
the 95 Theses, and I'll pick up on thesis 39. And this is what the Jews say about us. Those who follow Jesus are idol worshipers. And we don't have to go into a long discussion about Trinitarianism versus monism versus whatever. The debate among Christians has been going on for over 1,700 years. But nowhere do any of us, whether we are Trinitarians or monists, say that Yahshua Messiah is not God. And that's what we have been accused of. But if my opinion, Pastor Steve, is simply this. If Yahweh decides that he wants to create three offices from which he, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit operate upon us and with us and for us, that's his business, okay? No other religion has anything to say about it, especially the Jews, okay? I'm just going to quote the Talmud here. Perush 78c, quote, "And be it known that Christian people who follow Jesus, although their teachings vary, are all worshipers of idols." Now, why do they say that? It's because they claim that we believe in three different gods. Well, and that is not the case. That is simply their interpretation. And you know, if they want to believe that, fine. You know, it's none of your business, what we believe. They're going to call us idol worshippers anyway.
Go ahead. They hate Yeshua Messiah because he reviled them and exposed them for what they were.
Right.
So they're just going to badmouth him and lie, just like they do everything else. And we don't believe in three. We got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all manifestation of one Yahweh. Mm-hmm. It says Yahweh is one. His name is one.
Yes, it is a unity.
And it's not a Trinity. He manifested himself in the flesh of a man in the body of Yeshua.
Yeah.
And his Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kadosh, is still with us. Now, Yahweh in his totality, as all three, couldn't be here because there's sin in this dimension, if you want to call it that.
That's right.
That would destroy it. His very presence in his totality would wipe it out.
Well, that's why
it can't be in the presence of sin. It will wipe it out.
That's why Yahweh had to confine himself to the Ark of the Covenant, because his full power would destroy any human entity that came near him, right? And that's why he even had to hide somewhat from Moses. Okay.
Yeah, it only show his back part.
Right.
And that was just a vision.
Yeah, right. Through the bush. Okay.
Yeah, burning bush.
It's a good example. In fact, if you're driving, because we in the north parts, being Chicago with 13 inches of snow, although we have sunshine today, if you're driving up and down I-57 and you're looking at the setting sun through the trees, okay, the trees block off a lot of the harmful rays, and you can actually look right at the sun, and it's actually quite beautiful. But if you look at the sun directly without that, you know, interference, you know, you'd go blind.
It'll blind you
in short order. Okay.
Right.
So that's the concept here. You cannot see Yahweh in his totality with your human eyes and with your, you know, your unrestored human body. Okay. We will see him as he is once we get our glory bodies. The Bible is very clear about that.
Yeah, because that will be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, with me just having recovered from a heart attack, if I saw it,
you'd have another heart attack.
It's
right.
A big one.
Yeah.
Like, who was that Negro that did that? I can't remember.
So Yahweh has to attenuate himself for our benefit.
Otherwise
we'd be blown away, literally. Blown away. Okay. All right. But
by the way, we're going to have to let everybody know about the calendar.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We'll be putting
the calendars are going to be ready. We're going to list all that. I haven't even got mine yet. Eli has to send me the calendar.
Right. Yeah.
But Brother Abear has got it done.
And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. The theme this year is the Maseroth, showing how,
Sanford & Son. Yeah, Fred Sanford. That's right, Mr. Kim. Thank you.
Right. And the theme this year is the Maseroth, and he's got all of the asterisms, as many people call them, the constellations, which were composed by Adam, Seth, and Enoch as a prophetic announcement of the life of Christ. That's the original...
Yeah.
The original Maseroth, that's the Hebrew word for the zodiac, Hebrew for zodiac.
Right, and it's listed, it's talked about in the book of Job.
Right, exactly. And all forms of astrology which have devolved therefrom are perversions of the Maseroth, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, and so that's where those people got it from. And that's why the pagan world, they actually got a lot of our history and knowledge from the Maseroth, but they perverted it, as they always do. They always pervert it, okay? But I just wanted to, and so thank you, Brother Aber. That it's a really awesome, awesome publication that I'm so impressed. I've already got three on my wall. Okay? All right, very good. Now, I just want to do a little bit of historical backdrop on Thesis 39 here, because what happened was the Council of Nicaea met around 350 AD. I haven't looked it up in a while. But after Constantine made Christianity not the official religion of the Roman Empire, but no longer persecuted, all right? The persecution of Christianity was stopped by Constantine. But that
Schwampbox wants to know what the calendar is going to cost.
$20 donation. Yeah, we'll be putting that all up on the website. Okay.
There we go.
Sometime this week. Okay. And I've already sent a few out, and people are really going to love it. Really going to love it. In any case, the dispute was between the Arians, not A R Y A N S, but A R I. A-N, after Arianus, I believe, or Arius, who was I guess his heresy was that he taught that Yahshua was not divine, what we were just talking about. His contention was that Yahshua was a mere human being, albeit a nice guy, who may or may not have performed miracles.
That's what the Muslims teach.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
That's what the Muslims teach, that he was a great prophet, but that's all he was.
Okay. And so church fathers combined to, they had a meeting about that, and Constantine, his motivation was he just didn't want any disputation among the various Christian denominations or Christian congregations. And so that's why he called this conference, and he wanted to end this disputation. He didn't want to have any kind of dissent in the kingdom, right? That's what his motivation was. And so they finally, and what came out of it was the Nicene Creed. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get Trinitarianism from. Okay. And that's how it all started. Okay. But to accuse us of not considering Yahshua a divine being, whatever we believe is false. You know, we in identity, and almost all Christians believe in the divinity of Christ, period. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if the Jews disagree with that, tell them to go jump in a lake. I have to watch my language.
Oh, fire.
Yeah, right. There you go. Okay. Thesis number 40. Take it, Pastor Steve.
Okie dokie. Well, I get my glasses back on and hit number 40. The rabbinate is the Antichrist.
More and more people are beginning to figure this out.
Martin Luther wrote this, so don't get all upset. It's not EFR. Proverbs 30, verse 4, tells us that Yahweh, the Father, has a son, and that the son has a name of his own. That name is Yahshua Messiah. Okay, Yahweh is salvation. Now, some say Yahushua, but I've always heard Yahshua, and if you read the Hebrew, it doesn't have the O in there. They have been calling him Jesus Christ, because in the Greek, it was Ea Zeus, which is son of Zeus.
Right.
that's all Greek to me.
And thereby making Yahshua Messiah a pagan god, right?
Well, they did that. They've been inserting and tampering and you know.
Yeah. But that only works in English, because there's a lot of pagans who make that accusation that we're just what we were talking about with the Maseroth. Where'd they get this idea? Zeus is actually a version of Yahweh. That's what it is.
Well,
okay.
It's
not us picking up Greek ideas. It's the Greeks picking up Hebrew ideas. That's what's really going on here. Correct. All right, back to you. Yeah.
1 John chapter 2, verse 22 and 23 tells us that, who is a liar but he that denies that Yahshua is the Messiah, or Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
He is Antichrist, who denies both the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son has not the Father.
Okay.
Do these verses require explanation? Which ethnic group is it that denies that Jesus is the Messiah? Which religion refuses to accept him?
Well, there's many out there.
Messiah.
There are many.
Okay.
Right.
1 John 4, verses 1 through 4. Dearly beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby shall ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit which confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, but this is the spirit of God. Antichrist.
Now, a question, Pastor Steve. Why don't the Judeo-Christian denominations hold these verses over the Jews for the condemnation of them that it is? Why don't they ever quote these passages from 1 John?
Money.
What's...
Money.
It's that simple, eh?
Money.
Maybe fear? Maybe
money.
Fear of not being paid.
Who's up in the pulpit? Pastor Leibowitz is a hypocrite.
Right.
Oh, a la Carl Klang.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, What do we have to do? Have a ton of bricks fall on us?
Yeah, but that'll kill them.
We're not talking about a conspiracy theory, but a conspiracy fact that has been very effective. They have been chipping away and attacking and modifying the churches over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And they've introduced all this false doctrine that they're teaching as fact. And the people don't do the studies that they should to show themselves approved. They're just listening to the guy in the robes up on the pulpit and taking what he says. Well, he wouldn't lie to us, would he?
What a Jew lie. What a Jew lie.
Oh, of course not.
Okay.
So anyway, where we go. Every Judeo-Christian pulpit master knows that these incriminating verses are in the Bible, yet none of them warns their flock of the fact that the J word totally, and I'm using
smart. Yeah, you're being kind.
totally and absolutely deny that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. They help the J word perpetuate the fairy tale myth that one day the J word will learn to accept Jesus and they will be converted. Now, read the book of Obadiah.
And all the minor prophets. Every one of them tells us.
Read the book of Obadiah. It will tell you of Yahweh's hatred for Esau, Edom.
Yes, and Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares are going to burn. They're not going to be converted.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, bad pun.
Ten
demerits. Ten demerits.
We have fun.
Yes.
Let's see.
Take it down.
In a pig's eye.
Right.
Pork. Oh, no. That teaching is nothing but pseudo-religious hocus-pocus, conjured up as cynical and ruthless exploitation and betrayal of the stupid Goyim by their own pastors, quote-unquote. It is the essence of Christian apostasy.
Yes, Judeo-Christianity is the apostasy.
It is apostate. Here is reality for those that have eyes to see. A notice appearing in the Australian J Word News, Melbourne edition, volume 62, number 43, page 9, stated emphatically, Christians have to make a choice. Either retain their present belief system and be anti-Semitic or
anti-J-word.
I'm reading what it says here.
Right.
Or form a partnership with the J-word people. As long as Christians keep Jesus as God, they will be anti-Semitic because that belief must lead them to believe that those who reject Jesus reject God. See how they do it?
Yeah.
Deception, 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 lie upon lie upon lie, and they barrage us with these lies over and over and over. Right. Repetition works its way into people's minds, brothers and sisters.
But aren't they verifying the 1 John 2:22? Right there in these words, it's virtually a verbatim confirmation that they reject and expect Christians to reject Yahshua Messiah.
Well,
if you want to be Jewish, you must reject Jesus, right? That's what they're saying.
I don't want to be J word.
No.
I want to be CI word.
There you go. Okay.
So, I've been playing with it. We're
we're having fun.
A little facetious here.
Yes.
But that same ultimatum, in a more subtle form, is being forced upon the Christian world by the forces of Mammon as the New World Order, the United Nations, and globalism force their empire of merchants down our throats. Corporate fascism rules the day, and it is decidedly anti-Christian. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the ads, anything they can do to denigrate Christianity.
That's right. That's right.
Even Judeo-Christianity, which is apostatized.
It's an abomination, yes.
They will do that. All the advertising, radio and TV, magazines, newspapers. I mean, political correctness is being shoved down our throats. We're forced now to supposedly accept transgenderism, which is an abomination.
That's right.
I mean, you can see all of this culminating. It's coming to a head. People are waking up. More and more resistance to all their programs.
Amen.
Boycotting of the NFL. They have put we're going to have a major event at the Super Bowl. There's going to be a false flag and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff on the internet to distract us.
The Negro Felon League. Another
everything,
football player.
Everything to distract us from what we are supposed to be doing. Undermine our
That's
faith.
Right.
To take the spotlight away from Yahweh and put it on this world.
Yes. There are denominations in America, and I understand even in South Africa, where they break off early, break the services off early so they can all go out and play golf or soccer or
whatever. Here they cut the sermon off and everything if UK basketball was on.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Incredible.
If they're playing a game and it's going to be on TV.
Backetball.
Backetball. That's right.
Backetball.
And it's a feeding frenzy here.
Mm-hmm.
Fanatical.
Incredible.
Think I'm weird. Going to watch the game? No. I don't have a television. I'm not going to watch it. Well, you can come down here and watch it. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
I'm going to stay upstairs and do scripture.
Alabama-Auburn football rivalry. I mean, that stuff gets personal. I mean, these people will fight again, literally fisticuffs between these two fan bases, right? It's absurd.
That's idol worship.
Yeah, it sure is.
That's idol worship.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think the rest of this is self-explanatory, but anybody who wants to read the rest of this, please go to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com and then search for the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist, okay? And you can read the rest of item number 40, thesis number 40. So let me pick it up with thesis number 41. The rabbis reject the biblical Messiah. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Okay, is that too broad a statement, Pastor Steve?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I absolutely did. This includes the prophecy of the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14, Daniel's 70 weeks, Daniel 9, verses 24 to 26, Jeremiah's new covenant prophecy, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 33, the Bethlehem prophecy, Micah 5:2, the seed of David prophecy, 2 Samuel 7:14 through 16, the donkey prophecy that he shall come riding on an ass, Zechariah 9:9, the betrayal prophecy, Zechariah 11, 12 to 13, and literally dozens of others. Pastor Steve, has anybody in history fulfilled any one of these, let alone all the ones that I just mentioned here?
No. Except Yeshua.
The only one person. Only one That's divine it. Being. Okay. All
That's
right.
It. Okay. There was only one, and he's coming back.
Yes.
And that's they should be worried.
Right.
But now, your general population of the little J's.
Right. The
under, are brainwashed also because they are cannon fodder.
The Unterjuden, yes.
Unterjuden. But your rabbinical class are in the know.
Mm-hmm. They know.
And they do.
They know, and they know that we know.
they do the satanic rituals. They've got all these Freemasons out there doing satanic rituals. Out and out Satan worshipers doing satanic rituals.
Yes, pedophilia.
They've got it on TV.
Yes.
In the advertising. In the advertising. In the newspapers, they denigrate Christianity whenever they can. The mainstream news media denigrates Christianity wherever they can.
That's right.
I mean, if it's false, why are they so worried?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why the constant need to attack it if they're not worried about it? Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it's nothing, he's not going to come back with a flaming sword and destroy them all. Why would they worry?
Dream on. Dream on, Unterjuden. Dream on.
And the most of them just go about their lives trying to make shekels, and then they send. They send shekels to Israeli.
Right.
And the Unterjuden are the funding base.
That's right.
For that abomination over in the Middle East.
And that's as close as they'll get to paradise.
That's it. That is no longer the homeland of Israel. Israel is in dispersion. We are all over in all the white nations, wherever we go. We're in dispersion. We will be gathered. He's starting to gather the remnant now through Christian identity. We see a small but very strong remnant. And that's all there's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The majority, even of our people, Israel, will be cast out because they reject and they're in apostasy and they're more concerned with their worldly stuff and they're not giving their hearts holy. And that's what he says. If you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. Going to a Judeo-Christian church on the day of the sun god and worshiping and going through all of that. And they're all multi-culty, which is Yahweh. Yahweh says that's an abomination. They're all multiracial. We are to come out from among them and be separate. We are not to go in with the other races, but they don't teach that. They teach the opposite. They have been deceived to the point of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's harsh. I didn't say that. The scripture says that, which is why they have watered down and modified the scripture, and they don't teach that. They teach their church doctrine, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
Amen. Amen. The doctor, right. J-men.
J-men.
All right. Genesis 49:10. The scepter. What's that word there? Shebet. And it obviously means the staff that is held by the king. Right? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And we still have descendants of Judah bearing that scepter today, even though many of them are, what's the word, apostate themselves, like Queen Elizabeth II. They have rejected Yahweh's laws as well. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay. What does the word Shiloh mean, Pastor Steve?
To whom it belongs.
To whom it belongs. Okay. America was founded with the slogan, no king but Jesus. Okay. So America was founded with the anticipation of the second coming.
Yep.
Okay. That's what this Genesis verse 49:10 means. Okay.
Absolutely.
Pastor Steve, would you take up the question, the answer? Answer to the question, why do most Jews reject Jesus?
Well, the Jays rejected Jesus because he failed in their eyes to do what they expected their Messiah to do, right. Destroy evil and all their enemies, in this case the Romans, and establish an eternal kingdom with Israel as the preeminent nation in the world. Well, they don't even belong there.
Yeah, right. They're phonies.
The prophecies in Isaiah and Psalm 22 describe a suffering Messiah who would be persecuted and killed, but they chose to focus on those prophecies that discussed his glorious victories, not his crucifixion, which they engineered, by the way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The commentaries in the Talmud, written before the onset of Christianity, clearly discuss the messianic prophecies of Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and puzzle over how these would be fulfilled with the glorious setting up of the kingdom of the Messiah. After the church used these prophecies to prove the claims of Christ, the Jays took up the position that the prophecies did not refer to the Messiah, but to Israel or some other person. They tried to shift the truth. Mm-hmm. As they shift the truth today, they haven't changed.
That's right.
It's in their DNA. You cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And they are the sow's ear. And that's it. Pig people.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 years after he came to the nation of Israel as their Messiah or Redeemer,
mm-hmm.
Jews still, for the most part, reject Jesus Christ. Many Jews today, some say at least half of all living Jews, identify themselves as Jewish but prefer to remain secular. In other words, they're in the world making money so they can send it over to Israel.
That's right.
They identify with no particular Jewish movement, but they will all unite against Christians. Don't ever mm-hmm. doubt that.
That's
even
right.
If they're not religious themselves and have no understanding or affiliation with any Jewish biblical roots. Well, there is no Jewish biblical
That's roots. Right. That's right. Well, except as Edomites.
Well,
that's the closest they'll get.
The concept of Messiah as expressed in the Hebrew scriptures or Judaism's 13 principles of faith is foreign to most Jews today. They don't even study anything. Mm-hmm. They're all merchants and they're
right.
totally in the world.
That's, they study the stock market.
This is their life. They have nothing else, and all of this is going to burn up. And them with it.
Yes.
And then them with it. But one concept is generally held as universal. Jews must have nothing to do with Jesus.
Even the secular Jews are infected with this idea. Yep.
Most Jews today perceive that the last 2,000 years of historical Jewish persecution
please
persecution. To be at the hands of so-called Christians. from the Crusades to the Inquisition to the pogroms in Europe to Hitler's Holocaust. Jews ultimately believe that they are being held responsible for the death of Jesus Christ.
Yes, they are.
And are being persecuted for that reason.
No, they're not.
Not just that reason.
Right.
Because they're evil and they do evil to us and try to harm us and we're fighting back.
That's right.
They, therefore, reject him today for this reason and for the other historical reasons mentioned above.
Well, let's see. If they, first of all, crucified Christ and have proceeded to reject him for the last 2,000 years, do they imagine that there's no consequences for that? They must think that, you know, they must not believe the scriptures, which is the
point. Well, they don't.
Yeah, they don't. Right? They simply do not.
Your average Jew, unless he went to Jewish school, doesn't read Hebrew, doesn't go to the synagogue. They play golf.
Yeah, right.
On Saturday.
Or they bet on the football games.
Or whatever. Right? Yeah. They're living in their own little weird world, and I mean weird.
Yes.
Because their mindset and the way they think is alien to us. They are racial.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take Rabbi Lerner's comment, his answer.
Okay.
Why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Now, remember, from what Pastor Steve just read, every Jew looks at a Christian as its persecutor. There's yep. no way you can have any kind of personal bond with such a person who looks down upon you as its persecutor. You think you can have a friendship with a Jew? You are sadly mistaken.
Nope.
Sadly mistaken.
They're just looking for a way to stab you in the back.
That's right. The stab in the back has not happened yet. So your best bet is just get away from that, Jay, and have nothing to do with it. In answer to the question by Rabbi, or actually answer by Rabbi Lerner, in brief, one, no Jew accepts Jesus as the Messiah. Now, he's speaking for all Jews, the Unterjuden included. So when a J comes up to you and says, I have converted to Christianity, you know, did that work in Moorish Spain, Pastor Steve? When
no.
all these, no, they became crypto-Jews. They did not convert. They just pretended to convert.
Or crapto Jews.
Yeah,
whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
When someone makes that faith commitment, they become Christian. It is not possible. It is not possible.
It's not in them. Their DNA precludes it.
That's right. But here he confirms what we've been teaching all along in identity, Pastor Steve. It is not possible for someone to be both Jewish and Christian. Yeah.
Yep. Jews for Jesus is fake.
It's totally fake. Number two, Jews reject Jesus as the Messiah because he didn't fulfill Jewish expectations of the Messiah. Now, this is actually a true statement, Pastor Steve. But he did fulfill biblical expectations of Israel, but not Jewish expectations, which should tell
because
you something.
Unless they are placed on top and they rule the world, it doesn't meet their expectations.
That's right. That's right. But they aren't Israel anyway, so why should they care if he fulfilled biblical prophecy? They don't care about that.
No.
That's all pretense. Number three, the Hebrew Bible, called the Old Testament by the non-Jewish world, is not proof for anything in the New Testament regarding a Messiah. Wow! Wow! What a statement! Wow. I'm speechless. So forget the Bible, folks. Just forget it.
Well, they don't go by the Bible. They go by the Talmud.
That's right. Okay. Take number 42, please.
Okay.
Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty.
There we go. The rabbinate executed Yeshua Messiah. The Jews insist that Pilate killed Christ, not themselves. Yet Scripture tells us that Pilate washed his hands of the whole affair and pronounced Jesus guiltless. He even offered Jesus as the prisoner who should be set free, but the Jews demanded that Jesus be killed. Read Matthew 27:25. They wanted Barabbas, the thief. Mm-hmm. Whom are we to believe, the Scriptures or the Jews? Oh, let me think here.
I can tell you're not a Judeo-Christian. You're a real Christian.
Are we to reject the New Testament because the Jews don't like how they are portrayed therein?
Of course we're supposed to reject it, because that's what the Jews tell us we should do. Right? Didn't we just learn that from the rabbis themselves?
Oh, I follow orders so well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In a pig's eye. John,
yeah, in a pig's eye. Yeah. John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee and would not walk in Jewry, for the Jews sought to kill him.
Oh, wait a minute. Doesn't it say the Romans sought to kill him? I thought that's... Everybody says the Romans sought to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, it says the Jews here. Right? Do Christians read their Bible?
It does not say the Romans sought to kill him.
Right?
The only concern the Romans had was making sure the tribute money was collected. Pilate ceremonially washed his hands of the whole affair and turns Jesus over to the Pharisees, the Pharisites.
Yes.
For they were the ones who wanted him dead because he reviled them in the temple and beat the fire out of them. Right. With cat and nine tails.
There you go.
Pilate declared, "I find no fault in this man." That's Luke 23, verse 4 and 14. John 18, verse 38. And 19, 4, and 6. There is absolutely no doubt that the rabbis were the ones who plotted and schemed to destroy him. And they were the ones who held the illegal trial against him.
Mm-hmm. Totally illegal.
And they were the ones whose phony religion was being exposed by the Messiah. As usual, the Jews lie about this just as they lie about everything else. The only time a Rebbe tells the truth is when he is setting you up for an even bigger lie. Oh, boy, is that
the Holocaust. Right? Isn't that even an even bigger lie? Right?
Here's the biblical quote that the Jews, led by world lionist. Zionist.
Lyingist. There you go. Lyingist.
Lyingist leader. Abe Foxman. I such a deal I have for you. I, who demanded on behalf of world Jewry against our constitutional principle of freedom of speech, that Mel Gibson remove from the English subtitle of one particular verse in his movie, The Passion of Christ. And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and upon our children."
No, that was the Hieromab that the Pharisees.
Matthew 27,
right?
Verse 25.
Just like George Soros is doing today, hiring Black Lives Matter and Antifa to demonstrate and busing them in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the verse says the people, the International Jew demanded that Mel Gibson delete that subtitled verse for fear that Christians might correctly assume it meant the Jews.
Right.
What other group has such power of censorship? What other group would even dare to attempt such blatant censorship and hope to get away with it? Your master is the one you cannot criticize.
That's paraphrasing Voltaire, right?
Right. Let me remind you of the Judeo-Christian pastor's words. But one concept is generally held as universal. Jews must have nothing to do with Jesus. Most Jews today perceive that the last 2,000 years of historical Jewish persecution to be at the hands of so-called Christians. From the Crusades to the Inquisition to the pogroms of Europe to Hitler's Holocaust, Jews ultimately believe that they are being held responsible for the death of Jesus Christ and are being persecuted for that reason. They therefore reject him today for this reason and for the other historical reasons.
That was the pastor. Above. So it's not...
The second time we've quoted that today, right. And it's just as accurate as
right.
It can be.
Okay, so it's not the case that the Christian pastors aren't aware that the Jews hate Christianity and always are accusing us. But what's that, Diablos, the false accuser, right? I mean, it's obvious that that Yahshua fulfilled all those prophecies of the Messiah that are in the Old Testament, because that's still speaking to us true Israelites today. And in order for them to reject Messiah, they must reject the entire Old Testament, which they have done in their Talmud.
Well, they do the Talmud. They don't do the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
They use that as a front to bamboozle the Christians. Oh, see, we're the people of the Bible. No,
they're not.
Only one book in the Bible. That's Obadiah.
Right.
The book of Obadiah. That's your book. It tells you what's coming.
Yes.
Okay. Most Jews today, quite honestly, are oblivious of what's going on.
That's right.
They know that they're not liked. They're concentrating on business. They are the worker ants.
Mm-hmm.
But they are.
Termites.
Yeah, yes. They are working diligently daily, making money, their little shekels. And, of course, to assuage their guilt, and the rabbi comes around, and you got to give to the temple. Where's your tithe, where's your donations? Oh, I'm sorry, rabbi, here it is. And I'll add another 100,000. There you go.
Right? Boy, you're doing a really good imitation of Bill Clinton there, whether you realized it or not. All right, if you want to jump down to the quotation from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, then I will go to thesis number 43.
All right. For you have also suffered like this of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who have both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and please not God, and are contrary to all men. First
Adamites.
Thessalonians 2,
okay.
Verses 14 and 15.
So who killed Jesus, according to Paul? Who killed him?
Well, one
Romans?
Romans, because Pilate says he's innocent.
That's right.
I answer this.
Okay. So, and the problem here, Pastor Steve, is that all of the Judeo-Christian pastors repeat this Jewish swill to their flocks, pretending that the Romans killed Christ and not the Pharisees.
Well, okay. They want to get paid.
It's proof of the hypocrisy of just about all of Judeo-Christianity, because the proof is right there in the Bible, yet they refuse to cite it. They are lying on behalf of Global Jewry. That's what they're doing. Okay. Right. Okay, thesis number 43. The Israeli state is guilty of human trafficking.
And they've exposed that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what all the furor is about these days over the slave trade that they're still doing and sex slavery over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Right. The Bible says that Israel would set slaves free, but the Israeli state doesn't follow the Bible. Human trafficking in Israeli is a flourishing business, as young women from poor white Eastern Bloc nations are imported as sex slaves, and others are imported for indentured servitude. But the global traffic in women and sex slaves and sex workers, whatever you want to call them, has increased dramatically in recent years. But because the Judeo press doesn't identify the people who are really behind this international trafficking, because they would blame, let's say, the Russian mafia, Pastor Steve, you know, if they talk about this at all. It's a Russian mafia. It's the Greek mafia. It's the American mafia. It's MS-13. No, it isn't, folks.
No.
It's Jews. Okay? From an international report on human trafficking and modern-day slavery. Israel is a destination country for low-skilled workers from the PRC, People's Republic of China?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, I guess so. Romania, Jordan, Turkey, Thailand, the Philippines, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and India, who migrate voluntarily for contract labor in the construction, agriculture, and healthcare industries. Some, I guess the rabbis and the other Jays don't care what the race is because they're mongrels already, so what difference does it make? Some are subsequently subjected to conditions of involuntary servitude. I think that means slavery. Many labor Many labor recruitment agencies in source countries and in Israel require workers to pay upfront fees ranging from $1,000 to $10,000, a practice that often leads to debt bondage. That includes most of us. And makes these workers highly vulnerable to forced labor once in Israeli. Israeli is also a destination country for women trafficked from Eastern Europe, primarily Ukraine, Moldova, Uzbekistan, Belarus, and Russia. Now we're getting into the sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, specifically sex trafficking because they want pretty young white women. Okay. Mm-hmm. For the purpose of sexual exploitation, NGOs, like George Soros' organizations, who are actually involved in this, but some of these NGOs are legit, estimate that in 2005, between 1,000 to 3,000 women were trafficked into Israeli for sexual servitude, and 16,000 to 20,000 foreign workers faced involuntary servitude, though NGOs do not provide evidence to support their claim. U.S. And this is from the U.S. State Department Trafficking in Persons Report, June 2006. Mm-hmm. All right? So this is not a conspiracy site, right, saying these things. It's the U.S. State Department, folks. Okay? So one more item. On August 16th, it will be 5 years since two trafficking victims from the former Soviet Union were burned to death in a brothel in Tel Aviv. That's in Israel, folks. The tragedy occurred because the women were locked in the house and had no way out, which is common in the trafficking business. There are also three other known cases of deaths of trafficking victims in Israel, one woman from Ukraine and two others from Russia. In memory of the harrowing event that took place on August 16, 2000, the Israeli Coalition Against Trafficking in Women has posted to proclaim this date as the International Memorial Day for Trafficking Victims. We should keep this in mind when we go on the air on August 16th. Amnesty International has cited the Israeli state as a primary destination for sex traffic. Okay. Between 3,000 and 5,000 women have been smuggled into Israel. This is only up to the year 2006. In the past 4 years, to work as prostitutes. They don't mention Las Vegas or the other, you know, prostitution rings that are really run by Jews. And their only competition is black pimps. But I don't see that much going on. I think today, Pastor Steve, what's happening is that young white girls are being kidnapped and smuggled out of the country. Mm-hmm. And this is another story that's being unreported in the kosher press. Okay. So.
Well, they've been doing that, and all these little kids that mysteriously disappear.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. The report described how the women are sold at public auctions. Slavery, folks? The auction block? For as much as $10,000, which they don't get any of that money, and forced to work up to 18 hours a day. Put quotation marks around the word work. It is really difficult for such girls to escape once they reach Israel. Many of them appeal to the Russian embassy for help. However, as correspondents of the Neue Izvestia newspaper learned in Tel Aviv, people connected with recruiters of sex slaves stand close to the embassy in wait for fugitives and do not let them escape. All right. Do you need to know any more about Judaism, folks? That it is not the religion of the Bible? Do you need to know any more about them? Please take number 44, Pastor Steve.
Boy.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
The eternal Maranos and the standard of deception.
This is good. This is good.
In 1492, Kemor, chief rabbi of Spain, received the following reply from the Grand Sanhedrin, that's the elders of Zion, to his plea for advice on how to deal with their threatened expulsion under Spanish law. It illustrates how well the ancient Babylonian agenda was still being adhered to by the elect, quote unquote, at this time. Beloved brethren in Moses, oh please.
That's Rabbi
we
Moses.
We have received your letter in which you tell us of the anxieties and misfortunes which you are enduring. We are pierced by as great a pain to hear it as yourselves. The advice of the grand satraps and the rabbis is the following. One, as for what you say that the king of Spain obliges you to become Christians, do it, since you cannot do otherwise. Two, as for what you say about the command to despoil you of your property, make your sons merchants that they may despoil little by little the Christians of theirs. Oy, such a deal we got for you.
Yeah.
Verse 3. As for what you say about making attempts on your lives, make your sons doctors and apothecaries.
AMA.
That they may take away Christian lives.
Pharmakia.
Apothecaries, for those who don't know what an apothecary is, that's a pharmacist.
That's right.
Verse 4, as for what you say of their destroying your synagogues, make your sons canons and clerics in order that they may destroy their churches. They infiltrated the Catholic Church.
Oh, for sure. And all of Judea.
All the way up to Pope.
That's right. Okay. There have been several Jewish popes. Yep.
All right. Verse 5, as for other vexations you complain of, arrange that your sons become advocates and lawyers and see that they always mix in affairs of state, that by putting Christians under your yoke, you may dominate the world and be avenged on them. Does that sound familiar today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Protocols.
Senators, congressmen,
right?
Judges, mayors,
governors,
whatever. Verse 6, do not swerve from this order that we give you, because you will find by experience that, humiliated as you are, you will reach the actuality of power. Signed, Prince of the Jews of Constantinople, Julio Enigres de Medrano, La Silva Curiosa, 1608. Judaism is the only religion that teaches its people to go out and deceive others. The Spanish people began as referring to these false converts as conversos. After these conversos gradually infiltrated both the Spanish church and Spanish secular society, the people began to refer to them as marranos, meaning swine. The Jews readily admit that they were kicked out of Spain by Isabella in 1492, but they will never give you any details as to why. It was because the Spanish people demanded that the government eject the evil parasite that was corrupting their Spanish society.
Amen. Okay, Pastor Steve, what's happening in America today? Is it not the same
identical
thing?
Identical.
Yes.
If it works, don't fix it.
That's right. If it works, don't fix it. Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
They're doing their thing.
Again,
I invite everybody to go to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. to read the rest of this, the 95 Theses Against the Antichrist, because this explains what the Jewish people really are, what they truly believe, what their real attitudes are. And all of these Oberjuden speak constantly in the name of the Unterjuden. And if anyone, the little Jew who tries to buck that system, buck the system of the state within the state. This is where the orders, Pastor Steve, come from, of a state within a state, that even Benjamin Franklin recognized the Jews are guilty of.
Well, that's what we've got here. We've got the United States government, and then we have the United States government.
That's right.
Well,
maritime law, right? Well, and underneath here is a list of Jewish expulsions from various countries in Europe.
Let me say one thing. It says here about the Moors.
Okay.
They would go and open the gates of the city so the Moors could come in. They cooperated with them then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're cooperating with them now.
The Moors are Muslims.
Now.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're doing the same thing more or less.
Well, together the Jews and Muslims.
You missed that one, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
More or less.
Yeah, more or less. they've done it to London, to Britain, folks.
Oh yeah.
They got themselves a Jewslim mayor in the city of London,
and Germany.
And who let all these Muslims in? Who invited all these Muslims into?
Merkel.
Yeah.
Look at Merkel.
Sweden, Britain, elsewhere in Europe. Who? And America. Who's inviting?
Rahm Emanuel.
There you go. And his Jewish terrorist father.
No-go zones in Chicago.
Yes.
No-go zones in Detroit. Detroit is, Michigan is loaded with it.
Yes.
Loaded with it.
Amen. Amen. And so there's a lot more in thesis number 44. But I invite everybody again to go to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com and read the whole thing. I'm eventually going to turn this into a book, because it is a book. It's book length. And ultimately publish it once we get the Jews despoiled us of our PayPal link here at Eurofolk Radio. And once we get our credit card connection going, then we will make more and more publications available to everybody to really expose what's going on in the world today, which includes a lot of conspiratorial literature written by non-identity people, but most of them, although non-identity, are some form of Christian who have awakened to the Jewish question, put it that way, and have made public statements about it. But all of this, you know, is hushed up by
We got a post by Caucasian 78. Rotterdam has a Muslim mayor, and Amsterdam has a Jewish mayor.
Right.
Thank you. There's the chat room again.
Right.
These guys are on it now. Yeah.
Well, you know, we can't stay on top. You know, we're primarily focused on America, Britain, and Sweden, you know, and Germany, of course. But, you know, we need this intel from other countries. So thank you very much for that.
Well, this is Eurofolk Radio.
That's right.
Yes. That's what we are.
Yeah, and Andy did a interview with Alison Chablaz, who's being persecuted by the Jews.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, for you know, making fun of the Holocaust. And she was dragged into court for doing, you know, satire.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And the mainstream media doesn't object to this? You know, you can make fun of Catholics. You can make fun of Poles. Don't you dare make fun of Germans. But the Jews are constantly making fun of us, and that we can't make fun of them? To make it a crime to criticize Jews or even make fun of them? That's a crime? Well, the rest of the world, I don't know if there's any other country besides America that has freedom of speech written into their constitution, if they have any kind of constitution at all. But you can't get away with that here in America, although the Jews keep trying. They keep trying to pass laws to prevent criticism of themselves. Freedom of speech, anybody? Okay.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
That's been gone.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's a joke. It's a joke. As long as these Pharisees.
Well, I used to say on my radio station back before I went to the joint, this is your First Amendment station protected by the Second
Amendment. There you go. There you go.
And it's going to have to come to that again, folks.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
So I was right then, and I'm right now.
It is. Am I right or am I right?
I'm back.
And you're back. All right, please take number 45, Pastor Steve.
Okay, let me scroll down here.
And we have about 13 minutes left.
Whoa, there we go. Finally found it. The rabbis are higher authorities than Yahweh or Moses. According to Talmudic law, the words of the rabbis are deemed to be the words of God. In fact, Talmud goes even further by declaring that the rabbis are actually advisors to Yahweh. When he is unsure of himself,
right?
Oh, please! Oh,
I'm so unsure of myself. I don't know what to do.
I created the entire universe, but I'm not really sure about this.
All right.
Jehovah himself. See how they pervert that. They don't say Yahweh. Jehovah himself in heaven studies the Talmud standing as he has outstanding.
Yeah.
As he has such respect for that book. Oh, such respect I got for that.
And this is not satire, folks. This is what they really teach.
The teaching of the Talmud stand above all other laws. They are more important than the laws of Moses. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you imagine a greater spiritual conceit than this? You still believe that Judaism is the law of Moses? Obviously, the rabbis believe that their tradition is superior to the law of Moses. Which fallen angel does this conceit remind you of?
Mm-hmm.
Recall the admonition of Moses to all priests, neither to add nor subtract from the laws that he gave to Israel. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2. Only a priesthood that is full of itself can claim to be of Moses while it overrules him.
Amen.
Judaism is a religion of conceit.
Full of itself. Let me quickly
full
jump.
Full of itself.
Right.
Conceited.
Amen.
Puffed up.
Yep.
Arrogant.
Right? And that's all it is. It's lies as well. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, not ignore them, not violate them, but to do them, that ye may live. Okay, this equates keeping the commandments with life itself, folks. With life itself. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh God of your fathers giveth you. And this is talking about the total takeover of the Canaanite nations. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh ordered the Israelites to completely exterminate them and their animals, which our ancestors refused to do because they were too kind-hearted, unlike the Canaanites themselves, who were the offspring of Lucifer. Okay,
yep.
Going back to the days of Cain.
Cursed seed.
Yeah, the accursed seed. That's why he gave that order. Deuteronomy 4, 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, or that means anything from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. So, what's unclear about you shall not add unto or subtract from? Anything unclear about that, Pastor Steve?
I mean, not even a little bit.
Not
I
even
mean,
a little
you,
bit?
To enhance this, to make it better. I
do
mean,
you, do you?
That's the good ways we know how to, the rabbi yeah. will tell you that he knows how to make this better. He knows more than this Moshe. Moshe's dead. What does he know? Well, you got the rabbi. He will
yeah.
tell you what
yeah.
to do.
Oi,
what a mensch.
This is what we're dealing with, folks. Yeah. When we're dealing with Judaism, we're dealing with the most conceited Luciferian satanic religion that has ever existed. And yet the whole of Judeo-Christianity believes that they are God's chosen.
You ask one of these Judeo-Christians, what do you know about the Talmud?
Mm-hmm.
The what?
The what? Yeah.
What?
The what? Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, right. I had the opportunity to talk with a Judeo-Christian church leader. He was the head minister of the church, and he was asking, what's the difference between, you know, day-to-day Christianity and Christian identity? And I said, well, for one thing, we oppose the teachings of the Zionists. And he said, what's Zionism? Okay.
Well,
what's Talmudism?
I got one thing to say.
Yeah, this is how ignorant many Christians actually are. And you don't know that you're ignorant until somebody informs you that you're ignorant. Right? That's what we're here for, folks.
Well.
Okay. All right. Thesis number 46. The rabbinate is a Babylonian, not a biblical institution.
Sure is.
With about six
That's why minutes. They call it the Babylonian Talmud.
That's correct. That's correct. In his foreword to the Socino Talmud, the chief rabbi, Dr. J.H. Hertz, oh, it hurts so bad, wrote, "The Talmud is the product of Palestine, the land of the Bible, and of Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization," which the Jews had nothing to do with building civilization, by the way. "The beginnings of Talmudic literature date back to the time of the Babylonian exile in the 6th pre-Christian century before the Roman Republic had yet come into existence." Actually, it was coming into existence around that time. So let's analyze this, Pastor Steve. Actually, there is something called the Palestinian Talmud.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is a later work which is based on the Babylonian Talmud. Okay,
correct.
So even,
and they combined the heathen worship of in Babylon,
right,
with Judaism, and they rewrote all this stuff, and they started this, and they have added to it throughout the years, and are still adding to it
every day. Yes.
Every day. They add, they come, they, if you read that, there's so many rules and regulations. I mean,
yes.
You
Endless.
Can't pass, you can't pass gas without them
issuing a decree
on
yeah.
which direction and how high you raise your leg and all this other
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Well, I suppose
I mean,
you should
absolutely
be.
Absolutely.
Right?
Ridiculous.
It is. If you read the Talmud, you see how insane, how actually perverse, and it's pornography, really. That's what it is. It's pornography. Advising people how to have sex with little girls.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's got all that kind of stuff in it.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And which shows you why the Jews are so sex obsessed. Because they're for two reasons. Number one, their religion demands it. And number two, it's a way of punishing us non-Jews, right? Mm-hmm. And diluting our seed line, which is what they're doing with the importation of all these non-whites into white countries. That's what it goes back to the Talmud, folks. This is all what's happening in the world today is all based on this Talmud. Okay. Continuing with Rabbi Hertz. "When we come to the Babylonian Gemara, we are dealing with what most people understand when they speak or write of the Talmud. Its birthplace, Babylonia, was an autonomous Jewish center for a longer period than any other land, namely from soon after 586 before the Christian era to the year 1040 after the Christian era, 1626 years. Rabbi Akiba was the author of a collection of traditional laws out of which the Mishnah actually grew. By traditional laws, he does not mean Mosaic law. The language of the Mishnah is Neo-Hebrew, which confirms your frequently stated proposition that Yiddish is not Hebrew. A natural development from, well, a Jewish development from Biblical Hebrew. There is in it a large admixture of Aramaic, Greek, and also Latin terms." Okay.
And now German terms.
Yes, very much. There's a lot of German in Yiddish. Okay.
We're down to 3 minutes, brother.
Yes.
Less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll play the outro music when we get to the last minute here. So we need to take this apart. The exile into Babylon was of the house of Judah. They're not Jews. These were Judahites, purebred Caucasian Aryan Hebrews of the tribe of Judah. Okay. Now, only those who still continued and wanted to continue to practice the law of Moses went back to Jerusalem. those who decided to stay in Babylon intermingled with the non-Judahite, non-Aryan peoples there, of which one of the suburbs of Babylon was Sepharvaim.
Sepharvaim.
Yes. All right. Where from we get the Sephardic Jews from? They're the ones who composed the Talmud.
Yep.
And so that's what happened. So what Mr. Hertz, Rabbi Hertz, is saying is true, but he forgets to point out that they intermingled with these non-Israelite people, and it was the combination of the Mosaic law with their phony law that resulted in the Talmud. That's where they got the idea from, to distort the Mosaic.
They mingled with the Edomites.
Yes, that's right.
Migrated all the way up into Europe. They migrated too.
That's right.
So it's time for the bumper music, brother.
Right. So, and, folks, this expose.
May Yahweh bless and keep you. I'll just say goodbye now and Eli play the music.
Very good. And so what we're revealing here is the true origins of the Jewish religion are not from the Bible, folks. You need to understand that it is a rejection of Scripture, not the continuation of Scripture. All Christians must know this, and your Judeo-Christian ministers are not teaching you anything truthful about the origins of Judaism. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next time.